The heart is a really powerful physical center. It's a powerful spiritual center. It's a powerful emotional center. And when you tune into the heart and you breathe slowly in and out of your heart, it puts your whole system into coherence.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm a writer and a writing coach who helps women develop and publish their memoirs and essays. But most importantly, I'm a human who's always trying to figure out what my soul is saying. Each week, I'll share stories and tips of healing, hope, and following my heart so that you'll feel inspired to follow yours. The other morning, I was journaling and doing some reflecting, and I realized that one of the biggest shifts I've ever had in my well-being came in 2015. If you listened to the very first episode of this podcast, you'll know that that is the time when I was going through a ton of challenges in my life and when I felt so uncertain and so unclear. I instinctively one day sat down at a coffee shop and started writing. But I started writing in a way that I had never written before. I wrote a letter to myself from myself. And it was from the part of me that is wise, that is self-compassionate, that is really supportive and understanding. That practice of letter writing from my wiser self is the single most impactful practice I've ever created that has had such a profound impact on who I am today and on creating a sense of peace and trust within myself. And so it's interesting because all those years ago, I just started writing those kinds of letters. And what I realized over the years is that by writing those letters, I was trying to figure out what my heart was saying. I was trying to write down the story of my heart, the wisdom of my heart. And that's part of where the title of this podcast came from, Heart of the Story, because I believe that every heart has a story and every story has a heart. It came from realizing that when I gave myself space and time to listen to my heart, it had really profound things to say. Those sorts of letters to self are what we're going to be doing in my retreats that are coming up. And the first out of those retreats is on November 6th in Illinois. It's a day-long retreat. It's full of journaling and meditating and super nourishing food. It is like a spa day for your soul. And I'm so excited because if you are the type of person that has been wanting and needing to do some reflection and have some deep relaxation, but you haven't found the time or the space, well, let me do that work for you by creating this space, and then you can show up for yourself. And one of the great things that has happened over these past years that I've been writing these letters and going on my own spiritual journey is that the more that I study, the more that I learn that reflection and rest are the key components of most people's healing journeys. I read and I read and I read and I listen and listen and listen and watch and watch and learn and learn. And all of these great wise souls keep pointing back to the same sort of practices for growth, for healing, for self-compassion. And those practices are reflection and rest. So that's why I incorporate those into my retreats. So I hope you'll join us. You can find out more at NadineKennyJohnstone.com. I just opened enrollment for the November 6th retreat, and already spaces are filling up. So I hope I can see you there. And if you're not local to the Illinois Wilmette area, well, then maybe you can join us in the future. There will be one retreat coming up in early summer in the beautiful Door County, Wisconsin. You've heard me talk about it a ton of times. We have a house on the water, 5 days of writing and relaxing and being in nature and great food made by my chef husband. And then in August, we have another one in Camden, Maine, right on the ocean. The house has ocean access. And we're going to have wonderful meals that are made from locally sourced food. And we're going to do, again, writing and relaxation and getting out into nature. It's going to be fabulous. So, speaking of reflection and rest, I wanted to today share something really special with you, which is that I interviewed one of my great spiritual mentors so that she could tell you why these practices of reflection and rest work so well, why they're such a vital part of the healing process, especially in the past couple years as so much stress and grief and anxiety has built up, that these are the practices again and again that we can return to. And they require nothing but you coming back to yourself, making time and space for yourself. So I interviewed the wonderful Ann Baker of Essence Health. She is a certified health educator and coach. She got her certification from the National Institute of Whole Health. She is a wealth of knowledge. She got an undergrad degree in nursing, a master's degree in public health from UCLA. She got her certification in a program on advanced psychosomatic character therapy. She is a holistic healer. And on today's episode, she shares some of the key things that she notices when people come to her and they're having ailments, many of which relate back to the stress impact in their life. She shares the practices and the perspectives that most help in those really stressful moments. One of my favorite things that she said in this podcast is, healing is not a self-improvement project. Years ago, this was news to my ears when I started working with her. I was like, oh, I thought everything could be fixed, that everything was a self-improvement project. No, no. She talks about instead healing as self-acceptance. And she backs up so much of what I have been learning over the years, which is that your heart has the deepest knowing. So I wanted to share this interview with you today so that you can see from just another person who has gone on a healing journey and who has studied holistic health at length, that reflection and rest and self-compassion, really tuning into your heart, is always, always a beneficial exercise. I have a special guest on today, and her name is Anne Baker. And if that sounds familiar to you, it's because I've mentioned her quite a few times on this podcast. I credit her for really jumpstarting my spiritual journey, my journey back to myself. And I'm so excited to have her on today. Anne, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here and have a conversation. I love it.
Yeah. So around 5 or so years ago, I was struggling with anxiety, and anxiety has been a lifelong friend of mine. I don't know if friend is the right word. It's been a long-term acquaintance of mine, but at that particular time, I was feeling like I wanted some extra support. Over the years, I thought I had tried just about everything in terms of managing anxiety, and I wanted to try a different path. So I Googled holistic health practitioners, and by going down some rabbit hole, I ended up calling a place, and I was explaining in a very rambling fashion to the person on the phone what it was that I was looking for. And at the end of it, they said, "I think Anne might be able to help you." And so Anne called, and something, Anne, in your voice was just so immediately soothing and supportive to me that I thought, all right, yeah, let's take a chance and just see where this leads us. And so we started working together and looking at health from all different angles. You were encouraging some really introspective, good journaling questions. So I was journaling. We were having meetings very regularly. We were talking, and you do energy work as well. And so suddenly it opened up this whole world to me of looking at all elements of my health. And up until then, I had primarily kind of looked at everything from a Western medicine perspective. And so this was so wonderful to look at all of me emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And it has made a world of difference. So I'm so happy you're here. So maybe bring us back a little bit and tell us how you ended up on this wellness path and what ultimately it is that you do.
Wow. Okay. So I knew pieces of that, but I didn't know about that initial phone call. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I so appreciated your trust right away because I was really just starting out and trying things out. And we just developed such a beautiful relationship right from the start. So yeah, so my story, well, I started out, I knew I wanted to be a nurse on the prevention end of things in high school. I went to all-girl Catholic school, and you know, I was good at science and these things. So all the nuns were encouraging me to be a doctor, but I was like, I want to help to prevent people from getting really sick. So I think I had that initial knowing. This kind of holistic health wasn't a thing, you know, in the early 80s. So I went to nursing school, and it was a very holistic program. I learned all about nutrition and spirituality. So that was always my perspective. And then I got a master's in public health, and then I had a career in that. But at the same time, I was always learning about this mind-body connection and this connection with spirituality and health. So then I got married and had 3 kids. And I also had this other passion, which was art. So I was an artist for about a decade when my kids were little. And then I had my own health crisis. You know, I thought I was just tired from having 3 kids under the age of 5.
And that would be a good reason.
But just physically, things started not feeling good at all. So I was diagnosed with some autoimmune illnesses. 2 of them are pretty easy. Celiac, you just don't eat gluten. Then I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroid, hypothyroid. And I thought, all right, I'll just take some thyroid medicine. That's fine. But then I started getting symptoms of a third one, which was Sjogren's syndrome. And at that point, I was like, oh my goodness, why is this a third one? Why is my immune system malfunctioning? And I was able to access a lot of really great doctors, but they could deal with symptoms, but they couldn't tell me what was going on. So my husband is a doctor, and he read an essay by a doctor named Terry Walls, who has had progressive MS. I think she can officially say had. She was progressing so quickly, she was confined to a wheelchair, and her job was at risk as far as seeing patients and doing her research. So she decided to stop everything and figure out what was going on. You know, why were her neurons and her muscular cells not operating? And so she went on this deep dive, and she wrote an essay about the nutrition she figured out and the relaxation she needed to do. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do whatever she's doing. And I had a lot of healing to do, my digestion, and one thing kind of led to the next. So with each part of my path, I learned a whole new thing. And then I went to school for it because I realized, oh, this is connected to my purpose. I'm meant to be learning this so I can share it. And that quickly became evident as, you know, as soon as I learned something, someone would come into my life that I'd share it with, and they'd say, gosh, you should really do this for a living. So I finally did a 2-year health coaching program through the Institute of Whole Health. Then I did a 3-year intensive mind, body, spirit class with a local healer named local to Chicago named Kurt Hill. And I'm eternal student, so I'm always taking workshops and classes and expanding my body of knowledge so that I can keep passing along what I can to whoever finds me.
I love hearing that, because there was some of that that I didn't know either. And when Anne says that she is an eternal student, that is so true, because I would love to just download your brain. When we're sitting in sessions, you'll just pull out a quote from this person and then, oh, did you hear about this study about this? And like, you are just a wealth of knowledge, so it is. I see that in our sessions, how much you have absorbed and how you are hungry for this, because it matters to you, because it's had such an impact on you, and then you pass it along to other people. So whenever we meet for a session, I feel like it is both so healing, and also I come away with so many bits of wisdom that I feel like I've also learned so much in our sessions. When people come to you, what are the common patterns of things that you notice are bothering them or that people are dealing with?
Well, lately, for sure, it is around stress and the effects of that. I mean, we've all been through a heck of a last 2 years, you know? So I'm seeing a lot of effects of that, and that could show up physically or mentally. So I've been seeing a lot of digestive issues, migraine headaches, and just people who know, like, I just can't get my stress under control. So I've been really interested in how the nervous system works and this kind of new area called polyvagal theory, working with the vagus nerve and creating a foundation of safety and connection within our nervous systems and with other people. Because when we're under stress or we have a history of trauma, it leads to a disconnection. That's a disconnection with yourself and with other people. So this healing process is really about this reconnection process, you know, reconnecting with yourself, reconnecting with that felt sense of where are you in this moment, and reconnecting with other people. I think, gosh, with the pandemic especially, I mean, we've all been so isolated and there's been fear around connecting, but it's such a crucial part of our sense of safety and belonging that it's time to reconnect.
And when I think of where I was at a few years ago, what I didn't realize is how much of an impact stress was having on my life. And so, like many go-getter women, I was just doing, going. And my symptoms also presented in terms of autoimmune. And so I was taking thyroid medication for 9 years, actually. And I realized later on too high a dose for a while. And so that certainly didn't help with the anxiety. But it was kind of one of those things where I just felt like, okay, I am feeling like I just am on a hamster wheel and I don't know how to get off. Mm-hmm. But how can I put anything down? Because, you know, I'm a mom and a partner and I love what I do. And how do we do this? So a lot of what you have taught me has been in terms of stress management, but that just sounds so dry. Really, it has been about, first of all, the importance of rest. Resting mm-hmm. the body, yeah. resting the heart, the brain. I used to feel like when I go for a speed walk, that's my form of meditation. And maybe it can be a little bit, but you definitely help encourage me to have more introspective moments, to sit, to be still. I have a regular meditation practice because of you. And that all ties back to not even realizing how wrecked our nervous systems are. Like I really just thought, all right, if I eat well and I exercise and I just keep going, everything will be fine. But I was not at all taking care of my stress or my nervous system. So when people come to you and they are stressed and you know that some polyvagal work can help, like what does that mean and what can people do and what do you often recommend for reconnecting with themselves and other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me start first of all by saying that was absolutely what I realized about myself. I thought I could multitask all my wellness stuff. So. And then I realized that in order to heal the gut, I really had to flip the switch of my nervous system into this parasympathetic mode. So you're either mobilized for action and protection and danger, or you're in a relaxed and engaged place, and you can't multitask. You know, you truly have to be in one or the other. It does take some time, but it mostly takes awareness. So that's what I want to tell your listeners, because I taught a class the other night and we did a self-hug. I taught people a self-hug, and people can do it right now. You take your right hand, put on your left shoulder, and your left hand under your right shoulder. And you just feel that hold as you take some deep breaths. So you can inhale to a count of four, hold it, and then exhale very slowly, like you're blowing out a candle, to a count of six or eight. Slow breaths, longer exhale, the self-hug. It's like magic. It relaxes your whole nervous system and it doesn't take long. And when you combine that with tuning into your center, so my new tagline is healing from the center. And that's because of this whole idea of the nervous system. And it's also because of the importance of tuning into your heart. And the heart is a really powerful physical center. It's a powerful spiritual center. It's a powerful emotional center. And there's science around this as far as when you tune into the heart and you breathe slowly in and out of your heart, it puts your whole system into coherence. That means the heart's energy is more powerful than the brain and the nervous system's energy. Especially when you're focused on gratitude or love in combination with actually physically feeling the heart. You can even put your hands on top of your heart and breathe in and out of the heart and think about something you're grateful for. And boom, it doesn't take long. It's called heart rate variability, which is a measure of whether you are in that parasympathetic, if you're in that part of the nervous system that allows you to rest and relax and repair. So chronic stress over time will affect every organ of your system. I mean, there's just no way around it. And then people are vulnerable to different parts of the body being affected. I also teach something just called simply noticing, and that's taking the judgment out of things. We tend to create a project out of ourselves. So, you know, it's like, I got a diagnosis. Oh my gosh, I have to solve this. I have to figure it out. And I have to learn to meditate. And, you know, I should, which comes from a place of I need to be fixed and self-improvement. So I like to get this message out there that healing is not a self-improvement project. You know, it's a self-acceptance. It's a self-awareness. It's coming home to yourself. And simply noticing with compassion and curiosity is really a beautiful way to start.
Mm.
Because when we look at ourselves as a project, as something to fix, then we're never going to measure up. There's always going to be judgment, criticism. When you just have a curious attitude of like, isn't that interesting that I like to multitask? or isn't that interesting that I still have this symptom? It just opens your mind and your heart for a way to approach these things that can actually lead to some truth, you know, some real answers for yourself. And compassion, there's a lot of research now about self-compassion. One of its big effects is that it does relax the nervous system. It opens us up to creative problem solving, and it creates that connection that I spoke about in the beginning.
I would say one of the biggest things that has come out of our 5+ years working together is this growth in self-compassion, for sure. So internally, that has been one of the biggest, most impactful things that has been part of the healing journey that you have guided me towards, because I am, and even more so was, that person who just thought I could fix my way and control my way through everything.
I know, not uncommon. Absolutely. It's just American way of life, I think.
Yeah. And the shoulds, what I realized is that when I couldn't fix and I couldn't control, then shame took over.
Mm.
I didn't realize how much I was shaming myself. And I hear so many of my friends talk about it as well, that if we can't fix or control something, then we sometimes berate ourselves and we don't even realize it. So the self-compassion piece has been huge. Mm-hmm. So to give listeners kind of a feel of what it's like in a session, I'll come into her office and I'll just kind of on the way there be thinking about what's been on my mind lately. And I'll walk in and you're always there and with just a loving, supportive expression, a very calm presence. And I'll sit down and we usually start with some kind of meditation to get grounded. And when we first started working together, even that was something that was new. I was always just like running from one thing to the next. And for example, even before we got on this Zoom recording, I had been rushing from one thing to the next, but something that you taught me made me go, oh, can I take a couple breaths before we begin? It's like just getting grounded for a second is very helpful. So we always start with a grounding meditation, and then I might talk about whatever is on my mind. And just the insightful questions you ask always lead back to that listening to the heart. Tapping into the heart, tapping into self-compassion, because you have taught me so much about realizing that we are not our roles that we play. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also there are a lot of different parts of us that are trying to either protect or manage, et cetera. And
very busy parts. Yeah.
Very busy, busy parts. And so it's this noticing that you talk about has been incredibly helpful. Like, oh, what is that? The observation of just like, my mind's been very busy and all of these different parts have been playing and all of these different roles have really been showing themselves. But who am I? Who is the observer watching all of this? And can that offer some self-compassion. So that has definitely been a major part of the healing. And one of the other things that you always help me notice is just how much we as humans tend to analyze, that we are living so much in our brains. And can we just like be in our bodies for a minute,
yeah,
or our hearts for a minute? And that is always so helpful. You said something the other day about like, are any of our thoughts actually us? I forget what the exact quote is. Maybe you can help me out here. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's the nervous system. I took a course on this whole polyvagal theory and the nervous system. And they say your nervous system really creates your story that you tell yourself about yourself and the world. Mm-hmm. So if your nervous system is in a state of protection and competition and fear, then that's the story you're going to tell yourself. And that's how you're going to identify yourself too. So that got me thinking about, well, gosh, you know, are any of those thoughts then that are just kind of automatically bubbling up from our nervous system from fear? I mean, does that even belong to me, you know, my true self? Or is that just a pattern of the nervous system and the brain, who is like a constant gatekeeper, constantly monitoring our environment for danger? Our brains are evolved to remember more of the negative stuff than the positive stuff. And it's all about self-protection. Mm. And our thoughts really come from that place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can really ignore all of your thoughts and still probably work through your day just fine.
I know.
Into your heart, because your heart has your knowing, you know, like if you think about those times in your life where you just knew something, mm-hmm. or you knew in your heart. And a lot of times when I make decisions for myself or I'm guiding my kids or clients, it's like, what's the deepest knowing in your heart? And when you land in that and really feel into that, there is a wisdom there, an intelligence there that has nothing to do with the analytical brain.
Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful question. I think you've posed that quite a few times during our sessions, and it always has been so on point. If you tap into that and tune into that, it's always so wise. And you're right, mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with the analytical part of your brain. I was just listening to Glennon Doyle's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things. And she was talking about this very thing, like how much our anxiety and our analysis kind of takes over. And she says something that she has to try to decipher by listening to her body is this new music or is this someone doing a cover of an old song? Meaning, is this trauma from my past that is being triggered and therefore making me nervous? Or is this actually like unknowing and, oh, okay, this is something I need to pay attention to, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of like deciphering what are our patterns.
Yeah.
What is the mind, the busy mind taking over, or the triggered anxiety taking over? And what is actually our deep knowing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that process of discernment that's so important. And the habit of awareness really will help get you there. Because when you know your historical triggers, then when you're faced with something that's a legitimate fear, you should be able to figure that out and say, okay, no, I actually need to take action here. As opposed to, no, this is a mismatch of my perception and what I'm feeling like I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for anyone who might be saying, okay, well, I want to get more in tune and in touch with myself, and I want to try to listen to my heart more. Mm-hmm. What are some things that they can do? What are some maybe resources you recommend? Of course, I'm going to plug your insight meditations because they're so good, but what are some things that you would recommend?
Yeah, well, I think we already talked about doing the self-hug and the meditation, just the brief tuning into the heart. I think having some kind of practice, you could even set your timer on your phone where you attend to yourself. So I like the words befriend and attend as a way of relating to yourself. So when I think about healing from the center, it really is about coming from that place of befriending and attending to yourself. So it can be as simple, just 3 times a day where you set your timer, check in. Okay, where am I at? You know, where are my thoughts? What am I believing? What's happening in my body? If I stay in this state where I am now, where is that leading me? You know, and do I want to go there? And so it's just pressing that pause button really helps to bring yourself back to your center. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with all this technology because I think it gets us hooked. There's been some great stuff about dopamine addiction and all of that. However, there are some great apps for meditation. I am on Insight Timer, which is a free app, and you'd have to search Ann Petrus Baker. And I have my top meditations on there. I'm going to record a couple of new ones soon. So if you want have access to that, you should follow me. And there's so much, like, let's say with my healing journey, you know, I started with nutrition because that seemed like something easy and like I could deal with that before I dealt with my stress triggers, you know. But I want to have people keep it simple because we are so deluged with so much information that to keep it simple, finding things that put you more in harmony with yourself and with how the body is designed and with nature is a good place to start. The wellness industry has exploded. So a lot of people are selling things, you know, so to use your discernment and to keep it simple for just whatever intention you have on your journey, whether it's, I want to get more in touch with myself, or I want to handle my stress better, or I have an actual diagnosis I'm working with, you know, to start with that intention and really decide you're ready to go on that journey. I really believe resources show up for you, and to follow your heart and your intuition in kind of feeling out what feels right for you, because it's that alignment that means there's a good match and there's going to be something of benefit for you, which if I give you a list of the things that help me, might not be a good match for you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that led to a lot of trust that I had and have with you, because I've always been on a seeking journey. So I've seen many doctors, I've gone to many therapists, I've taken many classes. I think like many people, we've kind of been on the road to self-improvement for a long time. But what I have loved about our time working together is that it always comes back, your message, to me trusting myself, right? So what I love about your approach is that it's not go out and get this, go do that. It's always you're reminding me that I have all that I need. It's right here. And of course, this does not mean we need help and resources at different times. It does not mean that we don't sometimes need a village, that we don't sometimes need medication, that we don't sometimes need this treatment or that. But what I'm getting at is that so often we look outside ourselves and we forget to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. We forget to trust ourselves. We forget to ask our own hearts for its inner knowing. We forget to look back in to center. And that's what's been so wonderful about working with you, is that constant reminder that you are guiding me back to, how do you feel? How does it feel in the body? What does your heart know? And so over time, it's been wonderful to develop a better trust in my own self. That has been monumental. And I know that for other people as well on their own journeys, it's like when they get to that place where they're starting to trust themselves again, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's really huge.
Yeah, and that is music to my ears.
Don't you love Anne? She is incredible. If you're interested in those meditations that we talked about and learning more about her, you can find out more information at annepetrusbaker.com. I hope that after listening today, you are feeling like, oh yeah, my heart does have really important things to say. And it's right there. It's right there. It's within me. I can access it at any time. It's true. You can. That's the whole point of this podcast. Every heart has a story. Every story has a heart. That's what we're getting at every week, is listening to your heart, following your heart. So thank you for joining me as you always do. And thank you to one of the people who is closest to my heart. That is Michelle Rado, my incredible producer. I hope that, listeners, I will see you at an upcoming retreat. You can learn more at NadineKennyJohnstone.com. And yes, every heart has a story. Every story has a heart. See you next week.